Hello and welcome, everybody. This is World News. Israel has once again attacked tents housing the displaced Palestinians in Gaza, as there seems to be no end in sight to the regime's genocide against civilians in the besieged territory. In yet another violation of international humanitarian law, Israeli warplanes struck a refugee school in Deir al-Balah, causing fire to the tents of the displaced people. Several people are reported to have been killed and many more injured. Another attack on the Nusayrat refugee camp led to the death of at least six people. Fatalities have also been reported in northern Gaza, which remains under crippling Israeli siege for a month now. Elsewhere in Gaza City, two Palestinians lost their lives in airstrikes targeting the Shojaiya neighborhood. Since the onset of the regime's genocidal war on Gaza in October last year, more than 43,600 people have been killed and over 103,000 others injured. Moti Abu Mosabe joined us earlier from the central city of Deir al-Balah with an update on the situation in the war-torn Palestinian territory.
Yes, actually, the Israeli occupation forces carried on their deadly and destructive airstrikes and attacks against various parts of Gaza Strip. At least 13 Palestinian civilians have been reportedly and confirmed killed since 2 hours so far. 10 out of them were from the northern part of Gaza Strip as a result of the continuous and ongoing Israeli strikes and attacks. A fish attack took place moments ago in Kamal Adwan, in the vicinity of Kamal Adwan Hospital, when the Israeli fighter drones attacked a gathering of the Palestinian people. They're killing five Palestinian civilians. And previously, another attack took place against a residential building in Al-Manshiya area in Beit Lahia city, killing more than five Palestinian civilians. These attacks are still ubiquitous against various parts of the northern part of Gaza Strip. Three Palestinian children were extracted dead from Jabalia refugee camp. They are still subjected to more cruel Israeli strikes and attacks, and the Israeli occupation forces on the ground are still attacking the evacuation centers and displacement centers, particularly the schools sought refuge by the Palestinians in Beit Hanun city. They have forced hundreds of the Palestinian families to evacuate and deflee those areas under the heavy bombardments and gunfire. Yes, the situation is still horrific, particularly when it comes to the complete deprivation of the Palestinian people there of having any access to the basic humanitarian essentials. We are talking about a suffocating siege that is still imposed against those areas.
China has expressed shock over the suffering of civilians in the Gaza Strip, asking the Israeli regime to adhere to international law to address the humanitarian crisis in the blockaded Palestinian territory.
Israel, as the occupying power, must fulfill its obligations under international law and should not be permitted to use humanitarian assistance as a bargaining chip. We have noted that whenever international public opinion or criticism from a certain country goes stronger, humanitarian assistance in Gaza would seem to be progressing. This, in turn, shows that the occupying power has not exhausted all its efforts and that there is still enormous space for action to alleviate the humanitarian catastrophe in Gaza.
China's permanent representative to the UN issued the call during a Security Council briefing on food security in Gaza. Fu said that humanitarian issues should not be politicized, nor can hunger be weaponized. He underlined that the ongoing war has deprived civilians of essential resources in breach of humanitarian laws. He also criticized Israel for its indiscriminate bombings and restriction on food and medical supplies, which has caused widespread casualties, particularly among women and children. Fu called for the immediate opening of Gaza crossings and the removal of obstacles to aid. Meanwhile, a famine review committee of the UN Food Agency, in a report, warned that humanitarian access to Gaza is at an all-time low, with northern Gaza being at a severe risk of famine. A Palestinian teenager has succumbed to injuries he sustained after being shot by Israeli forces during a raid on the village of Safa near Ramallah. Additionally, Israeli forces are withholding the body of another young Palestinian man shot on Tuesday while attempting an anti-regime operation in Deir Sharaf, northwest of Nablus. Matt Mohammed joined us earlier from Ramallah to provide us with further details.
The largest operation against Safa village near Ramallah, actually to the west of Ramallah, has been going on since the early hours of the morning, detaining tens of Palestinians, closing all entrances and exits towards Safa, and of course, backed by settlers groups, as settlers have been attempting to seize land from Safa village for months now. There have been clashes, there has been raids that has done to this small village, actually. And their people made a lot of calls and pleas to any kind of help or any kind of support, as Safa village is actually, as we have been told by residents inside Safa village, there has been done the largest land seizing in Safa village. More than 4,000 dirhams. We are talking about more than 400 square meters that has been confiscated from this very very small village in order to give them to the settlers who are wanting to make a larger settlement to the one that is already near Safa. So from the hours of the morning, the IOF has started raiding on Safa village.
Israel has launched more deadly airstrikes against Lebanon, targeting the Arab country's residential areas and critical infrastructure. In their pre-dawn attacks, the regime's warplanes struck several areas, including a residential building in Dohat Aramun, south of Beirut. 8 people were killed and many others injured as a result of the strikes. The building sustained significant damage, with several floors collapsing and fires breaking out. Search efforts are ongoing for those missing under the rubble. Earlier, Israeli jets also targeted the Dar al-Hawra Medical Center in the southern suburbs of the capital. The recent strikes pushed the Lebanese death toll since October of last year to nearly 3,300. More than 14,200 people have also been injured. Hezbollah has carried out fresh retaliatory operations against Israeli military targets deep inside the occupied territories. One of the operations group targeted the Shraga military base north of the occupied city of Aqaba with a rocket barrage. Hezbollah also targeted the Tel Naf air base south of Tel Aviv with missiles. The resistance movement said it targeted Israel's Ha-Hotrim base for the first time with rockets. The Yokneam elite factory southeast of Haifa was also hit for the first time. The group also targeted several gatherings of Israeli forces in a number of settlements. Hezbollah has managed to inflict heavy losses on Israel since the regime began its aggression against Lebanon in October 2023. The group has so far destroyed over 40 Merkava tanks, several military bulldozers, and armored vehicles. More than 100 Israeli soldiers have so far been killed and over 1,000 others injured by Hezbollah fighters since then. U.S. Central Command says it has carried out an aerial operation against Syria in response to what it called an attack on American military personnel. In a statement posted on X social media platform, CENTCOM announced targeting weapons storage and logistics facility of a group without specifying its name. Some media sources say the U.S. warplane struck 2 locations in eastern Syrian city of Bukamal, resulting in 3 deaths and 5 injuries. U.S.-led coalition had targeted the same city last month, causing 18 fatalities. The latest strike came a day after resistance groups attacked the U.S. military base in the Conoco gas field in Deir al-Zawr, as well as a facility in al-Shaddadi area in the southeast of Hasaka province, using drones, that is. The U.S. military said the attacks on its forces did not cause injuries or damage. The U.S. Department of Defense has confirmed the Yemeni army's attacks on 2 American warships passing through the Bab al-Mandab Strait to the Arabian Sea. In a press conference, Pentagon spokesperson Patrick Ryder said the 2 destroyers were targeted with drones as well as ballistic and cruise missiles. Ryder, however, claimed that the attack was thwarted by the U.S. Central Command and that there was no damage or injuries. U.S. Confirmation came hours after the Yemeni army announced it carried out a successful operation against 3 U.S. naval vessels, including an aircraft carrier, in support of the Palestinian and Lebanese people. This is despite the U.S. and the U.K. having launched multiple airstrikes on Yemen in recent months in their attempt to stop anti-Israel operations. The Yemeni army has pledged to continue to hit Israeli targets as long as the regime presses ahead with its wars on Gaza and Lebanon. In the United States, it seems that outgoing President Joe Biden may overlook the law that mandates the stopping of security assistance to countries that restrict U.S. humanitarian aid. Despite Biden's 30-day deadline for Israel to improve the humanitarian situation in Gaza, the regime has not complied with it. Nevertheless, Washington has indicated that it will continue sending arms to Israel. Rami Mazuri has the details in this report.
The administration of lame duck President Joe Biden has backed down from its threat to limit weapons transfers to Israel if the humanitarian situation in Gaza did not improve by November 12th. That's even though eight rights groups just announced that conditions in Gaza are worse than at any point in the last 13 months of indiscriminate bombing, starvation tactics, and a minimum of 45,000 people murdered. The Biden administration gave Israel 30 days to increase the flow of humanitarian aid, but it now seems that the threat may have been an empty electoral tactic designed to get pro-Palestinians into voting for failed Democratic candidate Kamala Harris.
I don't think they're serious at all about stopping the war on the Gazan people. No, I think it's all about America. I think America is very happy to have Israel do their dirty work for them. But I think they're full partners in the genocide. And I think the 30-day letter was theater.
Rights groups said that of the 19 requirements outlined by the U.S., Israel failed to take meaningful action or actively worsen the humanitarian situation in 15 of them, most notably in failing to allow at least 350 aid trucks into Gaza per day. The clear disregard for the latest allegedly red line of Washington will once again not have repercussions, and it has many saying the complicity of the Biden administration in the Gaza genocide is clear.
The group I was with visited about 13 congressional offices this morning, and for the most part didn't hear anything new. I don't feel like anybody, it's only been a week, but I don't feel like anybody has at this point done any sort of action, you know, after action review to say, okay, what happened? Where did we go wrong? They're continuing to say the same thing, to support Israel's just defending itself. It's only been a week, but I don't think there's any lessons learned at this point.
The United States Foreign Assistance Act requires the president to stop security assistance to any country that restricts U.S. humanitarian aid.
The pro-Gaza movement has been, after George Floyd, the United States' largest sustained protest movement since the Vietnam War. The Democratic Party refused to listen, and they just paid the price at the polls. Many here say that they aren't surprised that they still aren't listening now. Ramin Mazahari, Washington, D.C.
Russia has launched its first missile attack on Kiev in over 2 months amid escalating conflict between the two neighbors. A renewed Russian assault that also included drones comes amid fierce battles on multiple fronts. Russia has intensified its military offensive in order to defuse Ukrainian counterattacks. The Russian Defense Ministry reported strikes on eastern Ukrainian regions of Kharkiv, Donetsk, and Zaporizhia, and also Kherson. It stated that over 40 Ukrainian military equipment were destroyed. Russia's air defenses also shot down 6 HIMARS missiles and 71 drones launched by the Ukrainian army. Meanwhile, Ukraine's general staff reported clashes with Russian forces, particularly around Kurakhov and Pokrovsk. Russia launched its special military operation against Ukraine on February 2022. The Director General of the International Atomic Energy Agency has reiterated that international inspectors have not found any evidence suggesting Iran is seeking to build nuclear weapons. Speaking on the sidelines of the Baku Climate Change Summit on Tuesday, Rafael Grossi expressed hope for resolving the alleged safeguards issues with Iranian officials as he is set to visit Tehran. Earlier, Grossi said the aim of his 2-day trip is to find diplomatic solutions to remaining issues, adding that the new Iranian government has made efforts to address the JCPOA compliance. Grossi is scheduled to meet the Iranian president, foreign minister, and the head of the Atomic Energy Organization of Iran. The IAEA has consistently verified Iran's peaceful nature of its nuclear program. Tehran gradually reduced its commitments to the JCPOA after Britain, France, and Germany failed to adhere to its obligations, and the U.S. unilaterally withdrew from the deal and reimposed sanctions on the country back in 2018. That's a wrap for this edition of World News. Thanks for tuning in, and see you next time.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is the part of this speech delivered by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with a thousand of veterans and active members in the sacred defense and the resistance field. The meeting took place in the Imam Khomeini Hosseiniya on September 25, 2024. Under enemy bombardment, a young man who was later martyred would write his final will in which he emphasized the importance of observing the hijab. This shows the extent of their spirituality, religious commitment, and commitment to the Islamic laws and faith. In my opinion, this account of the war and such a look at a war is more important than the descriptive report. This is a place where Almighty God demonstrates His power in the victory of His righteous servants. This is a place where it becomes clear what God's will for His righteous servants is. Indeed, the earth belongs to Allah. He gives it as a heritage to whom He wills amongst His worshippers. The Holy Quran, Surah 7, Ayah 128.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
God's righteous servants receive divine support. They endure hardships as the people of Iran endured great hardships during the 8-year sacred defense. The youth, families, fathers, mothers, and spouses suffered greatly. But following these hardships, Almighty God granted them honor, victory, and assistance. Well, both types of accounts need to be recorded and documented. Those who know about, have seen, or are informed about these events should talk about them. Others should turn these reports into interesting products, which has already been done to some extent. Last year, I mentioned that the work that has already been done needs to be increased 100 times. That's true. We have not worked enough in these areas. If we had had more resources for spreading information during the revolution and the war, the country's progress would have been much greater. We had limited resources for propagation. On the other hand, the enemy had unlimited resources for propagation. Even today, the situation is somewhat the same. Today, we must do everything we can to increase our resources in this field. So that was regarding the sacred defense.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me.
RQ-170 will leave a different mark in the history of Iran-U.S. relations. The aircraft utilizes the cutting-edge military technology in the world. The Beast of Kandahar, or the RQ-170. It's an aircraft with the highest level of stealth. The RQ flies into Iranian airspace. The RQ pilots are certain that no one is able to see them on its radar. No Iranian air defense had locked on RQ. Everything is like the F-117s that flew over Iraq. The American side is completely relaxed, but the Americans are wrong. Not only the radar see the RQ, but even the flight image of the aircraft can be seen live in the Iranian operations room. A few minutes later, the RQ connection with the Kandahar Center is cut off. The Americans are still confused as to what happened to their strategic UAV, and these images are broadcast on Iranian TV. The RQ is safe and sound on the ground and now in control of the Islamic Revolution Guard Corps personnel. The footage is amazing. Has Iran reached a level of technology that can not only see or destroy the most important espionage aircraft in the world, but also land it safely on the ground? The news is true. So true that the U.S. president confirms it in front of the cameras in amazement. Iran gives the answer to the U.S. side a year later in this place. When the leader of the revolution sits in front of the American UAV and the Iranian version of the RQ-170. Seymour is an Iranian model of the RQ-170 that takes off the ground. Some time later, Seymour makes its first operational cross-border flight here, striking the Daesh headquarters near the U.S. military base. This is not a simple event. In this way, the Seymour flies from Iran in the middle of the night and strikes the strategic depth of Daesh in such a way that the U.S. defenses did not show the slightest reaction. The Iranian Seymour was hidden from the U.S. defenses, and this by no means is something irrelevant. An important achievement has been made in this dark night. However, Iran's air defense system has just begun its job. The Iranian skies are no longer safe for spy aircraft. August 2014, Isfahan province. This fragmented aircraft is the Israeli regime's most important spy aircraft, Hermes. The legendary name shows that the Israeli UAV is very smart, intelligent, and untraceable, of course, until before this scene. This is the same Hermes that had been unveiled with this shape and image. In an ugly and inhuman act, Israel used civilian airliners as a shield for Hermes. Firing any missiles towards Hermes could have caused the downing of a passenger plane, and this alone would have been a means of media war against Iran. The Israelis never admitted that they hid their espionage UAV in the airway routes. Therefore, the detection and targeting process of the espionage UAV took roughly 40 minutes and finally was destroyed over the city of Natanz. The fact that the Iranian radars detected the not-so-large Israeli drones among all the passenger planes is just one side of the story. But the fact that the Iranian missiles were able to distinguish this super-stealth UAV from the other planes without mistake and destroy it is another story.
It means Iran has reached a high level in air defense. This preparedness is a product of these drills. The Iranian army is in war drills, and the cameras catch a glimpse of a special radar and air defense system. The system is called Mersad. But the type of its missile remains unknown, and no information about them was published until the end of the 2000s. Drone power and defense power. These images are displaying only the power of one of the combat units of the Iranian army. Not all of Iran's armed forces. That was in 2018, that is, only 30 years after the final year of Iraq's war on Iran, and when Iran had a lot of problems defending its own skies. A year later, the Semnan Desert again. The Mersad 16 system is supposed to be tested here. The Mersad 16 is a mobile air defense system, but it uses a radar system known as phase array. Phase array is a complex system that makes very large radars. Not every country can manufacture the system. The Iranian Hafiz radar is highly capable and has brought Iran to a point where it can cover up to 250 kilometers. Hafiz simultaneously engages and tracks 100 targets. This is how Hafiz was tested next to Mersad 16. But the odds are against the former absolute power in the sky. This is the Northrop Grumman Corporation, the manufacturer of the billion-dollar Phantom aircraft. They built the X-47 to compete with the RQ, and now they are assembling the highest flying American spy aircraft. The Pakistanis also love the UAV, but Iran will soon disrupt the game for this factory as it turned the tables on the RQ manufacturer. Global Hawk. It is an eye that looks at the ground from about twice the height of other types of aircraft with pinpoint accuracy. Maybe we could say that the most important part of this drone is a SAR radar. SAR scans the surface of Earth. Global Hawk can scan 7 million square meters in a single day. But on June 20th, 2019, for the United States, some developments are underway. American base in the United Arab Emirates. The Global Hawk is to take off. The destination is Iran. The Global Hawk has turned off all of its detection systems and is untraceable. The American Hawk can be seen on the Iranian radar from the moment it takes off. It is getting closer and closer to Iran every moment. So much so that it reaches around the Mubarak mountain area. It is in the crosshairs of this system now. The Khordad 3 radar and missile launcher, a system that the Americans saw a few days ago on the Shahid Siouxsie vessel, but they do not know that the very system is going to surprise them tonight. From this moment, this name, Khordad 3, will be scary for all American aircraft. The defense system of Khordad 3. Sometimes after the explosion, the damaged body of Global Hawk is taken out of the water. This wreckage will be placed on display for people and officials to see. In the release pictures of the remains of the drone, one of the images attract most of the attention. The picture is an image of the SAR radar, the most important part of the Global Hawk.
رادار سار هست که با رزولوشن بالا، کیفیت‌های بالا تصاویر را ارسال می‌کنه برای فرماندهی و کنترل.
Iran has achieved this technology at its highest level. 3 years before this event, Absar radar had been unveiled here on Kish Island in Iran. But possessing American radar can make the Iranians fully aware of their opponent and the American technology. American SAR can work even in the most stormy of weather. Now, Iran is the only country that has this radar. The radar that begins its work here at the hands of the Army Chief is the radar that detected the Global Hawk. This radar is called Saman. Those days, Iran was building two other important radars as well, Miraj and Nazir. This is Nazir, which stands on the highest peak in the east of the country. Nazir is used like a radar net against the smallest drones. This radar system is Nazir's brother, Muraghib. It watches over the Persian Gulf. The S-band is an important feature in radar design. It works so reliably that the United States uses this band to communicate with its satellites and space shuttle. Muraghib and Nazir have another brother named the Persian Gulf. This radar is specially made for radar evasive aircraft. On the other hand, the Iranian army has designed an important system which is similar to the S-300, but much more efficient. Balvar uses Iranian-made Sayyad missiles and destroys six targets at the same time. Balvar shoots vertically. It shoots from a canister, which means it has outmatched the S-300. Balvar's radar detects all aircraft, even the strategic and very expensive American F-35. Balvar can hide among terrain features. Its mast opens and closes quickly. It can change its position very quickly. Its missile is called the Sayyad 4, which is completely Iranian. This is the same missile that was first made through reverse engineering of the Americans' missiles, and now it is so advanced it can detect and hit the American F-35. A colossal monster emerges from behind the clouds, embodying Iran's ambitious vision. This radar is known as Sipir. The range of the radar is 3,000 kilometers. That is, if an aircraft takes off from Israeli-occupied territories, it will be monitored in Tehran. Intercepting Israeli aircraft is not good news for the regime. Today, Iran has turned out to be an active pole of drone power in the region and across the world. It can send long-range pinpoint missiles and drones for specific purposes beyond its borders. It can also monitor, control, and guide the missiles and drones through its most advanced radar and defense systems. ¶¶
به این عکس ها خیره شو خیره شو، به اون روزهای پر از خاطره، نخوا گرمی خواب چشم کسی.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
علم فقه از علوم شریفه اسلامی است.
فقه or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The holy prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant factor.
امامت یک اصل زنده است در تاریخ اسلام.
امامت is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Ayatollah Nasiri. Please stay tuned.
با قرآن بودن ترسی از بلا و امراض نیست. قرآن شفاست، قرآن شفای هر دردی از خدا می داند. اما ایمان باشد ها، عاملم باشی بهشان.
If you are with the Quran, then there will be no fear in your life. It is explicitly mentioned in the Quran that the Holy Quran is like a healing and a remedy to the ailments and diseases. Everyone who practices according to the Quran, then he or she will not be defeated by the enemy.
IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir.
The Holy Quran is like a big treasure and a source of knowledge. The Quran is like a strong rope to which, if you cling, then you will be raised to the heavens. You must trust the Holy Quran and you must be steadfast in believing in the Quran. Then the Quran will be like a strong asylum for you, to which the hands of betrayers will not reach. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Ayatollah Nasiri. Till another episode and another short speech of a great alim or a scholar, fi amanillah, God bless you all.
Nightmare of Jerusalem. Part 3.
Thirteen days have passed since Israel attacked the Iranian embassy in Damascus on April 1st, 2024. And now it is time to fulfill Ayatollah Khamenei's warning. Iran wants to carry out the largest military operation against Israel in the last 30 years. The issue makes Netanyahu more nervous than anyone else. Israel and NATO are completely ready. If Iran's operation fails, things will be much easier for Israel and the Arabs will be encouraged to unite with the regime. But if Israel fails, that will be a major nightmare for the people in occupied Al-Quds. Those who call it Al-Quds Jerusalem have been dealing with the nightmare of Iran's attack for 13 days. Tonight is the night that the nightmare in Jerusalem will take place, April 13th, 2024. It has been 2 weeks since occupied territories descended into chaos. Armed individuals are flocking to stores, buying water and basic necessities in preparation for a crisis following Iran's attack. Despite a complete media blackout, the commander of the Israeli army has urged residents not to panic buy, assuring them Iran's operation will not be a harsh one. This statement implies the situation will not be apocalyptic and there's no need to swarm the stores. These words indicate that the situation is not in their favor at all. The effects of the psychological war have manifested in the behaviors of both the people and officials in occupied territories. Military officials of the regime have done their best to prepare for Iran's retaliatory operation. Benjamin Netanyahu requested the commander of CENTCOM, the U.S. military in West Asia, to go to Israel. This is the army that assassinated the commander of Iran's Quds Force. U.S. warships moved closer to occupied territories. Finally, Iranian authorities decided to inform regional countries that the retaliatory operation would be carried out within 72 hours. The U.S. and Israel were also notified, prompting them to take the final necessary measures to face Iran's retaliatory strike. This indicates NATO is prepared to defend Israel with all its forces in West Asia. few days before the operation, during a meeting with military commanders, the leader of the Islamic Revolution of Iran, Ayatollah Khamenei, recited a poem he had written many years back. The poem goes, "You are the miracle on the palm of sorcerers. Throw your staff and don't run away from the fear of the snake." This verse refers to the story of Prophet Moses, who threw his staff in front of the Pharaoh's sorcerers as commanded by God. The staff turned into a snake, foiling the spells of the sorcerers. Ayatollah Khamenei alluded to this story, relating it to those who claim to follow Moses, implicitly considering them as the pharaohs of the present time. The atmosphere of the Operation True Promise evokes a special ideological ambiance. Verses from the Holy Quran are inscribed on the rockets. Photos of children martyred by Israel's bombing in Gaza are attached to the rockets as well, along with the names of those martyred in Israel's attack on the Iranian consulate in Damascus. Prayer known as Tawassul, often recited by Shia Muslims before important events, was being recited. Finally, at around 10 o'clock at night, Operation True Promise was launched with the code, "O Messenger of God." Iran launched the attack with the enemy fully prepared to defend itself. It was time for the test. Testing Iran's war machine in a limited operation against all NATO and Israeli military assets. There are two main targets in this operation that Iran aims to strike under NATO's watchful eyes as punishment for Israel. The first target is a spy base in the occupied Golan Heights, and the second, the Nevatim Air Base, where the fighter jets that attacked the Iranian embassy were kept. The Golan Heights, which belongs to Syria, was occupied by the Zionist regime a few decades ago. Due to the strategic dominance of these heights over a wide range of eastern regions, they hold great significance for the regime in terms of surveillance and espionage. The first wave of attacks began with the Shahed 136 drones. Shahed is the most famous Iranian drone, as the Ukrainian government has repeatedly claimed it is used by Russia to strike targets in Ukraine. Shahed's engine makes a unique sound, so it is known as a flying lawnmower. These drones have to travel a distance of over 1,000 kilometers from Iran, which, considering NATO's air coverage, Israel's distance from Iran, and the low speed of the drones, military observers question the efficiency of the weapon. In a military exercise, the Shahed 136, simulating a chimney pipe, targeted Israel's nuclear equipment with such precision that it made headlines for quite some time. The Iranian Shahed 136 UAV has garnered global attention due to its high power and ability to hit sensitive and strategic positions, leading some countries to copy its design. The Shahed 136 drone was unveiled in 2021. What distinguishes this UAV from other types is its economic price and destructive power. The Shahed 136 has a warhead weighing 50 kilograms in a maximum range of 2,000 kilometers, allowing Iran to target Israel from its own soil. 9 months ago, Israel's Channel 11 investigated Iranian drones and highlighted the Shahed 136 as a dangerous device. While the Shahed does not have high destructive power, its total price is at most $30,000. A $30,000 drone alone is capable of disabling a Patriot system which costs several hundred million dollars. If the system wants to target a drone, it has to shoot at least a $3 million missile. The price of each Patriot missile launcher unit is estimated at around $10 million, and each guided missile plane costs about $3 million. Therefore, Iran will force Israel to fire about $400 million worth of Patriot missiles by launching approximately 170 drones worth $30,000. The war has not yet started, and Iran should be called the winner of imposing an economic cost on the enemy. But Shahed is not all of Iran's drone arsenal. The Islamic Republic also has Arash suicide drone, the world's longest range suicide drone with a range of more than 2,000 kilometers. In addition to its suicide capabilities, the Arash drone can suppress air defenses. The commander of the Army's ground forces stated in an interview, "We will use this drone to attack Haifa and Tel Aviv." Iran has developed the Kion 1 and 2 UAVs, which can reach speeds of over 500 kilometers per hour, comparable to a cruise missile. These army drones are capable of intercepting defense systems, and upgrading to Arash drones makes destroying defense systems significantly easier. However, Iran has not deployed any Kion drones against Israel, opting instead to use the Shahed 136, its most basic combat drones. There are three THAAD systems in the path of Iran's drones. One is at the Incirlik base in Turkey, where American troops are stationed. The second is in the UAE, and the third is in occupied territories. The Shahed drones have to navigate this extensive radar barrier. Additionally, Saudi Arabia's army is being equipped with this system worth $15 billion. Furthermore, Saudi Arabia, the U.S. Army, and Iraq and Jordan all have the Patriot system, which also lies along the route to Israeli-occupied territories. Iran has not yet deployed any of its important drones into combat. Iran possesses drones with a range of 200 kilometers, capable of flying and photographing large American ships without being detected. These drones, if necessary, can be utilized to serve Iran's interests. The specific drones that Iran may have provided to Hezbollah are of the Sarir type, an anti-radiation drone with a long lifespan and the ability to take pictures from any position. Iran possesses the Shahed 129 drone, which has an operational range of 1,700 kilometers and a 24-hour flight time. This armed drone has proven quite successful in the war against Daesh. Additionally, Iran has a Shahed 147, capable of flying up to 60,000 feet. Iran named the Shahed 149 Gaza. This massive drone can fly for 35 hours at a speed of 350 kilometers per hour, with operational and communication capabilities reaching a 7,000 kilometer radius. The Shahed 149 can carry 500 kilograms of cargo, functioning similarly to a ballistic missile, but with much greater precision. Iran developed the Sa'ghe drone based the American RQ-170, which was downed by Iran's electronic warfare system. The Seymour and Sa'ghe drones were produced in large numbers and used in the battle against Daesh. The Israeli regime claimed the drone of this type targeted the occupied territories, indicating that the Sa'ghe has a history of operations against Israel. Despite all this, the Islamic Republic of Iran only sent a Shahed suicide drone to occupied territories. An hour later, the drones arrive over Iraqi airspace. The drones arrive at the border of the occupied territories at 1:20 a.m. That was the exact time General Soleimani, commander of Iran's Quds Force, was martyred. During those 2 weeks, U.S. did its best to persuade Iran to spare Israel without any cost. The U.S. had even sent a message to Iran that if the country attacks Israel, NATO might launch a military invasion on Iran. All mainstream Western Arab media were also active in Lebanon to prevent Iran from gaining necessary control through Hezbollah. But Iran attacked Israel from within its own territory, indicating a plan by Western media and intelligence services was thwarted and the confrontation entered a new phase. Iran took a significant risk on the night of the attack. Islamic Republic warned that no country has the right to allow the U.S. or NATO to use its airspace and borders against Iran. It clearly and firmly declared that if the U.S. uses their territory, American bases in those countries will definitely be targeted strongly. This official announcement made it more difficult for the West to gauge the level of conflict. The interesting thing was that Iran gave Arab and Western countries a week to consider the second proposed option. Iran's second option was that if Israel stopped its aggression against Gaza, Iran would consider attacking Israel more patiently and with fewer missiles. Israel had never been humiliated to such an extent before. The US, the UK, France, Germany, and Italy mobilized all the resources in Qatar, the UAE, Saudi Arabia, and Jordan. The Pentagon deployed its full capabilities. On paper, the equation favored NATO and its Arab allies. Iran had to defend itself single-handedly. It was the biggest test of the Iranian battle tactics against Western weapons. According to word of mouth, more than six ships and frigates adjusted their defense systems to confront Iranian drones. Over 100 planes were ready to take off and engage. NATO created 8 air zones to target drones and missiles from any direction Iranian missiles might be fired. 6 layers of anti-missile defenses were designed so that if Iranian missiles passed through the Iron Dome, the next layer would target and shoot them down. These are the measures in place before even reaching the Iron Dome. NATO's confidence in the drone was so high that the German foreign minister called Iran 24 hours before the attack on Israel, requesting Iran not to launch an attack from within its territory. He sarcastically said if Iranian missiles and drones managed to ever pass the barriers created by NATO. The U.S. had 70 drones inside Iraq, and they incrementally increased this number in the days leading up to the attack on Israel, reportedly reaching 700. They monitored all movements of Iran's troops, missiles, and drones. Interestingly, Iran allowed this to happen. NATO was almost certain the Americans would spot any missile fired from Iran, ensuring that no missiles from Iran would reach their targets in Israel. Consequently, they confidently warned Iran not to attack Israel, believing it would lead to Iran's disgrace. Turkey's Incirlik base, with 5,000 personnel and a large number of AWACS aircraft, naturally entered Iran's border observation field. Iranian drones needed about 5.5 to 7 hours to reach the Zionist regime's border as they were not moving at high speed. It was logical that people in Iraq and Jordan could see the Iranian drones flying towards Israel. It was logical that people in Iraq